The nation will mark December 7th this weekend, a day that President Franklin Delano Roosevelt told the nation would live in infamy. Delmarva Public Radio essayist George Merrill recalls that day when his family heard that the Japanese had bombed Pearl Harbor.
Memory is unreliable. Aging memory is particularly unreliable. As the anniversary of December 7th, 1941 approaches, I have a memory I don't really trust. I was 7 then. The feeling I recall, however, I do trust. I was afraid because I sensed fear and uncertainty in my father. My father had friends over to play cards that day. They sat in the dining room, tobacco smoke thick in the air, cards in hand, in high spirits, and I felt safe around the male camaraderie of the game. I recall no other details. Memory is like the telescope house once constructed in New England. The original farmhouse is built. Then, over the years, additions are added. Similarly, our memories of the defining moments of our lives change, as new information adds something new to our initial experience. Memories, once glorious, can become tainted. I recall my father sitting me in his lap and telling me that something terrible had happened. The Japanese had bombed Pearl Harbor. I understood nothing of who the Japanese were, where Pearl Harbor was, but I sensed, as dogs and children do, the troubled feelings of someone near them has and is trying to disguise them. His expression told me that whatever happened disturbed him. December 7th, 1941 began the end of my childhood innocence, not at first, however. We frequently ferried back and forth to Manhattan from Staten Island, where I lived. America's European war efforts were frequently launched from New York Harbor. The harbor was manic with war fever, troop ships sailing off to England. I saw a sub in the harbor making for the Narrows. Men in uniform were everywhere, and I felt a giddy excitement about the war. In 1942, my father was commissioned and sent to Europe. He was there 3 years, one at the front. I thought he looked godlike and invincible when I first saw him in his officer's uniform, the pinks and greens as they were known. He was proud of it. For a little boy, safe in America, saving the world for democracy was an intoxicating adventure. The kids in my neighborhood played war in the fields behind our house, as we imagined our fathers and brothers were doing in combat. We did battle by throwing not grenades, but rocks at each other. I endured one hardship during the war. No bubble gum was available. In 1945, the war ended. My father returned. The lights came on again all over the world, except for my father's. His flickered for a while and burned out. Only 40 years later did I understand that the war destroyed him and that he suffered from what we now call post-traumatic stress disorder. He had seen more brutality than his soul could abide. "The paths of glory lead but to the grave," wrote Thomas Gray. For those suffering post-traumatic stress disorder, the path is like a lingering illness. If there's good news at all, it's that we've learned that war destroys souls as well as taking lives, and that wounded souls need therapeutic intervention just as injured bodies do. I welcome the attention now given to veterans suffering post-traumatic stress disorder. George Merrill, On the Shore.